It's the crossover edition of the Locked On Giants podcast and the Locked On Commanders podcast. Locked On Commanders co-host David Harrison joins me on the special edition to talk about key storylines, key matchups, and predictions for this weekend's Giants Commanders games. That's coming up next. Stick around.
You are Locked On Commanders, your daily podcast on the Washington Commanders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Crossover Thursday is presented by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is so much fun and it's easy to play. There's no competing with other players. It's just you versus the projections available. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, you win up to 10 times the amount of your money on your entry. It can literally take less than 60 seconds to enter. It's that easy. We love Prize Picks, and we know you will too. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special crossover edition of the Locked On Giants podcast and the Locked On Commanders podcast. My name is Patricia Tran. I am the host of Locked On Giants, joined by David Harrison, co-host of Locked On Commanders. And we are here. We're going to break down everything you need to know about this Sunday's game. The Commanders visit the Giants at MetLife Stadium. Kickoff is set for 1 o'clock p.m. And David, it's going to be a game that I think is probably flying under the radar, but has really significant playoff implications.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It does, Patricia. And I'm looking forward to actually visiting MetLife for the first time myself, and also meeting you in person finally for the first time. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll be able to get that picture together for the company newsletter, which would be kind of fun.
Absolutely.
All right. On today's show, folks, we're going to talk about the key storylines. We'll kick that off. And then we're also going to talk about key matchups. We're going to give you our predictions. And then we'll just kind of put a bow on this at the end. And David, since you and the Commanders will be the visitors, let's start with you with your key stories.
Yeah, I think the biggest storyline for the Washington Commanders coming into this thing is whether or not they can continue this run-heavy attack that they've been doing on offense. You know, and to some people's dismay, they're not very happy not seeing Taylor Heinicke having to prove that he can quarterback this team to a victory. Instead, the Washington Commanders have been relying on defense, relying on the rushing game to get these wins, and some people want to see Taylor Heinicke prove that he can carry the load, so to speak. But, you know, I think from the Washington Commanders standpoint, from the locker room standpoint, if they're winning, they're happy. They don't care how they're winning. Nobody cares who's, you know, doing the most work to get the win. They just want to continue winning. And Taylor Heinicke wants to continue expanding his collection of Jordans. So that's going to be the biggest question is, can they continue to run, or are the Giants going to finally be the team that forces them to go away from that? And some numbers to kind of talk about this whole thing. Washington's currently 15th in the National Football League in rushing per game with 121.1 yards. But that average really is not indicative of what they've been doing lately, because they've exceeded 121.1 yards in each of their past 4 games, and they've exceeded that number in 6 of their last 7. Oh, by the way, they're 6-1 in those last 7 games. So that average has been steadily climbing, because the 5 games that they have less than 100 yards rushing as a team are drawing that average down. Those all came during the losing part of the season. They were 2-3 in those games. So The thing about it is, it's almost kind of weird, because this team, the better they do in yards per carry versus yards per game, almost the worse they do in games. They only have 7 games this season where they ran the ball for 4 yards or more per carry, and they're 3-4 in those 7 games. In the 5 games where they've run for less than 4 yards per carry, they're 4-1. So this offense is not about getting big runs necessarily. You love to see the big runs, but it's more about controlling the ball, controlling the tempo, and getting to third and manageable, because in those games where the Commanders are running for less than 4 yards per carry, they're converting 6 or more third downs in 3 of those games, versus the opposite where they're getting bigger runs more often and their yards per carry are actually higher. They have 6 or more third down conversions in less or only in 2 of those games. So, I mean, this is not a team that's predicated on getting the huge run. This is a team that's predicated on grinding the clock and forcing Daniel Jones and offense is to sit on the sideline.
All right. You know, there must be something in the air with the running game because that's actually, there's actually two big stories for the Giants. And I'm going to start with the running game. And basically, the last few weeks, teams have figured out how to shut down Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. The Giants, if you look overall at their rushing totals in three of their last four games, which, by the way, they're 1-3 in three of their last four games of their four games. The Giants have rushed for 78 yards, 89 yards, 90 yards. Those all coming in losses to Seattle, Detroit, and Dallas, respectively. The one game that they won against the Texans, 191 yards on the ground. And interestingly, the Giants have only managed to win really one game when they have rushed for under 100 yards, that coming back against Baltimore early in the season. So the Giants running game, definitely a big question mark for the team. How are they going to get Saquon Barkley going again? I think they have to get Daniel Jones involved a little bit more than what they have been doing. And, you know, along those lines, just to piggyback off of that theory there, the Giants have had some injuries. They are going to get some guys back that have, you know, been instrumental in the running game. For example, tight end Daniel Bellinger, whose presence has been missed in that running game. He should be back on Sunday. They're supposed to be getting, I think they're going to have Evan Neal back, their rookie offensive tackle. Yeah. That's going to help. You know, so go back to stabilizing that offensive line. Now, I don't know what they're going to do at left guard. Ben Bredesen may not be ready for Sunday, but, you know, the preliminary plan is John Feliciano at center. He'll be back after missing the Dallas game and then moving Nick Gates over to left guard. So the Giants, you know, that offensive line has been shaken up a lot because of injuries. They have missed Daniel Bellinger, like I've said, and, you know, they've just put a lot on Saquon's plate. And, you know, he's tried to valiantly do it and get it done, but he can't do it all by himself. He just can't. And they've got to give opposing defenses something else to think about other than Saquon, because when you become one dimensional like that, and you just have one guy that you can, that you need to stop, guess what? You just might as well, you just gift wrapped the game and handed it on a silver platter to the opponent. So that is going to be a huge, huge element for the Giants, is getting that running game going against a very good Washington defensive front who has been effective against the run.
Absolutely. Yeah. That front seven is honestly probably the main reason. If you had isolated to just a group of guys, that defensive front seven is probably the main reason that Washington's been able to win, you know, some of the games that they are, because the Commanders aren't scoring a lot of points, but the Commanders' defense isn't allowing a lot of points, and they're getting teams off the field quickly. They're getting some three and outs, and they're keeping the opponent running game from taking over and forcing the ball essentially into the quarterback's hand with late leads. And again, knowing that you can't necessarily run the ball. And I think both teams, Patricia, I think this is a week where both teams are probably going to have to get their quarterbacks involved a little bit more than they want, partially because the Giants are going to have more film on this rushing attack than anybody else has, obviously, up to this point. And so they're going to have maybe some ability, but also maybe some determination to kind of say, you know what, you're going to force Taylor Heinicke to beat you through the air. And the Washington Commanders are okay with that. They want to try to do that. But again, in history, you know, the Commanders are 1-6, and this dates back to last season, obviously, before the Commanders was a name, but they're 1-6 when Heinicke throws the ball 35 times or more. And he's never had a QBR over 100 when doing exactly that. But they're 11-4 if he throws the ball fewer than 35 times. So that's kind of like the line of you don't cross that line. That's the equator, right? You don't want to go above or at 35. Like 34 is the cap, because he's also got four games of 100 QBR or higher when he only throws it 34 times or less. So you might get more than 25 throws out of Taylor Heinicke this week. But if I'm Scott Turner, I'm not letting him get above. Honestly, I'm not letting him get above 32 just in case in the last moments of the game I have to throw it for some reason. I don't want to hit that 35 throw mark.
Now, before we get to the key matchups, I've got to ask you this, because the scheduling is kind of weird from the Commanders' perspective. You've got the Giants this week, then you've got a bye, and then guess who you have in a couple of weeks?
You and I will be right back
doing this again in a couple of weeks, which is kind of a weird schedule. But that being said, David, is there any kind of an advantage, you think, having the two games basically back-to-back for the Commanders?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is, because you kind of, you know, you get two bites at the apple, and you know, it's New York Giants, the Big Apple, so it's a reasonable statement to say, I think. But you get the opportunity to come in and you don't have to worry about, especially from a coaching standpoint, like we can come in and face the Giants. And if A, B, and C work, but you know, D, E, and F don't work, then we can go back to the drawing board and say, okay, how can we accentuate A, B, and C? And how do we either improve or which parts of D, E, and F do we just get rid of altogether? And I go back to last season, you know, these Giants Commanders matchups were bookends on the season, essentially. And the first time around, the New York Giants give up 300 plus passing yards to Taylor Heinicke and they barely lose a 1-point game. Taylor Heinicke's only 300 yard career passing game, by the way. But then the next matchup, they come up and the Giants actually lose by a lot more, but they hold Taylor Heinicke to a career low as a starter. So it's just kind of a weird dynamic. So you see the Giants come through and change some things, but having it back to back and then the Giants have to worry about another opponent between the matchups. So while the Giants are having to kind of flip things around and worry about somebody else, the Commanders already know what they do well against you. They're theoretically getting healthier. They may even get, you know, Chase Young back and stuff like that. And so that gives them a new wrinkle to bring into that matchup and they don't have to worry about somebody else in the meantime.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for the Giants for certain. And we'll see how they play it, obviously, because, you know, the question for the Giants is do they unload everything? Because this is an important game. I mentioned at the start of the show, this is not only a division game, but there's potential playoff implications here because the Giants at best have to split with Washington. If they don't, if they get swept, they can kiss that tiebreaker goodbye, and chances are they will even sink to the bottom of the NFC East. So that makes this game all the more important. All right, coming up, we are going to talk about the key matchups in Sunday's game, Washington Commanders at New York Giants. Don't go anywhere, Giant fans and Washington fans. We'll be right back. This episode of Crossover Thursday is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you're going to love. That's why you'll be able to find Block Forever available as a bonus episode on Locked On NFL right now. Locked Forever is a brand new podcast from former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil, who takes the conversation about football to the next level. Khalil sits down with star players, coaches, and former pros across the league to get real about what happens on the field and behind the scenes. New episodes of Block Forever will be recorded and released every week ahead of Thursday night football. So head on over today to Locked On NFL for a sneak peek of Block Forever or catch the full series available anywhere you get your podcasts. Audible, get in the game. Hey, Giants and Commander fans, thanks so much for making this crossover edition of the Locked On Giants podcast and the Locked On Commanders podcast your first listen today. For your second listen, head on over to Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, everybody, welcome back to this crossover edition of the Locked On Giants podcast and the Locked On Commanders podcast. The Giants and Commanders face off on Sunday, MetLife Stadium, kickoff at 1 o'clock. Big NFC East matchup with potential playoff implications, because right now the Washington Commanders, they're nipping at the Giants' heels. I think they are the seventh seed, I want to say. The Giants are currently the sixth seed. So this game is going to have some juice to it for certain. And speaking of juice, David, let's talk about the key matchups in this game. Again, we'll go to you since you are the visitors this week. What do you see as the biggest matchups for this game?
Yeah, just add on to the playoff implications. I mean, if Washington wins, like you said, if Washington wins, they're the sixth seed in the NFC. If they lose and the Seahawks win, then they fall down to the eighth seed. So you fall completely out of the playoff picture. If that happens, of course, if Commanders lose and Seahawks lose, then it pretty much stays the same. And we just kind of live to fight another week. So I guess that's kind of there's two ways that this works out positively for the Commanders. But obviously, they would rather have the eighth win of the season. Ron Rivera's first 8-win season as a head coach in Washington, by the way, if they achieve that. So, of course, they would rather have that. We already know the Commanders are going to try to run a lot against the New York Giants. Like, you can just take that to the bank. The real question is going to be whether it's going to be Antonio Gibson or it's going to be Brian Robinson Jr. And I'm going to caveat all that right now by saying Antonio Gibson limited in practice on Wednesday. So there is a possibility that he doesn't play this game. I mean, it just kind of depends on how serious that injury is. But, you know, coaches are, we're not really going to find that out until Friday. So I'm going to leave him in the conversation until there's a reason not to. So just Giants fans, especially because, you know, you don't probably usually track this stuff. Just keep an eye on Antonio Gibson. But the variance in Washington's rushing attack is really interesting. And every week we get the question of who is going to be the number one back for the Washington Commanders. And is one of them deserving of the primary back? And the answer I always give is there is no primary back. It's a case by case, opponent by opponent situation. So Brian Robinson agreed with that process. I asked him after the game against the Falcons. He said, nobody cares about who gets more touches, yards, touchdowns. We just want to win. So whatever is going to happen is going to happen. The Giants coming out of their bye were giving up, from what I saw, more rushing, better rushing performances to the left side of the offensive formation. But since the bye, are actually giving up better rushing performances to the right side of the offensive formation. I don't know how much injury is playing into that, or if that's just a schematic thing. For Washington, they do their best running to the right when they're using zone running schemes. That's Antonio Gibson's wheelhouse. When they run better to the left, they usually use their gap schemes. That's Brian Robinson's wheelhouse. So if you want to know the answer on which running back in Washington you're going to see more, well, if they have more success to the right running their zone scheme, it's probably going to be AG. If they have more success to the left using their gap scheme, then it's going to be Brian Robinson. But the Giants, depending on the before the bye and after the bye, have given up successful running attacks on either side of the line, just depending on who you are. So we really don't know who it's going to be, but I think as you watch the game and the game flow, if you see more running opportunities to the right, you're going to see more Antonio Gibson. More to the left, you're going to see more Brian Robinson. And again, that's assuming Antonio Gibson plays. If he doesn't, then you're looking at Brian Robinson, Jonathan Williams, and you're just getting a whole lot of power gaps team runs anyway. Although both running backs do have it's probably about a 60-40 split. Each of them can run effectively in zone and gap schemes.
Must be nice to have two running backs that can equally share the workload. I mean, the Giants, all about Saquon, really.
And, you know, all about Saquon.
Despite the fact that they have, you know, Matt Breida, who could take on some of that workload, mm-hmm. Gary Brightwell, assuming that, you know, he kicks whatever bug he's got that's kept them out of practice. But, you know, you mentioned the running game, which I think is going to be really the central theme for both teams. You know, yeah. I talked about Saquon and the Giants running game going up against that tough defensive front. But you know what? I think I'm going to piggyback off of what you said, because the Giants run defense really hasn't been stout all year long. Right. Now, some of that has been a result of defensive coordinator Wink Martindale saying, okay, you know what? I've got to pick my poison. I may have to give up a little bit in the run game just to, you know, to protect the passing game. But look, you know, teams have been able to really gash the Giants in terms of yardage, and the Giants run defense right now, I think, is ranked, I want to say 27th or 28th in the bottom of the league, towards the bottom right. of the league. And that's very surprising, all things considering, you know, they've got Dexter Lawrence up front, Leonard Williams.
Sexy, right?
Yeah, Sexy Dexy. You remember that, right? So they've got him, and he's been playing real, you know, he's had a whale of a year. I mean, probably his best career year, in that he's put it together both as a pass rusher and as a run stopper. You also have Leonard Williams, who as a pass rusher has been kind of quiet, not as disruptive, I think, as they'd like to see him. But, you know, the Giants, I think they're going to get some help back. Azeez Ojulari is supposed to be coming back after his stint on IR. He's still on IR as of this recording, but he is expected to be activated off of IR. Kayvon Thibodeau, who had a big game against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, just as a disruptor, and also, you know, doing well as a pass, a run defender. So you've got the meat up front. The question is can the linebackers keep the guys out of the second level? That's where the Giants, I think, have been getting beaten in terms of their run defense, is at that second level. And if they don't start winning those battles, it has the potential to be a very, very long day. And, you know, the last thing I think Wink Martindale wants to see is, especially with a banged up defensive secondary, who, you know, they might be getting Fabian Moreau, former commander, back this week, but still they're without Adoree Jackson, who's probably not going to play. You know, the safeties, we probably won't see Xavier McKinney anytime soon, if at all, the rest of the year. So they've, you know, Dane Belton is banged up a little bit. Jason Pinnock has been playing there. So, you know, you want to protect that defensive secondary, and it starts with the run. And, you know, just that run defense, it's just been such an enigma for the Giants. I don't know what the answer is. I think it starts with, you know, cleaning up at the second level there. But as far as actually how they're going to do it or what the plan is, that remains to be seen. I don't know what Wink's got up his sleeves there, because this is not allowing him to be as aggressive, I think, as he wants to be, you know, because he knows he doesn't have the, you know, the personnel to do what he would ideally like to do. So there's got to be a little give and take, and we'll see how that give and take kind of falls into place.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's hard to drive a four cylinder like a V8. You know what I mean? It's just kind of hard to do that if you don't got the horses for it. But you know, it's interesting because that's the debate that's always going on around the Commanders, is people saying that this rushing attack, this rush heavy attack, is not sustainable. But every week we come up against an opponent and say, you know what, maybe this week we can continue this rushing attack thing. And so you're kind of wondering when that wall is actually going to get hit. Spoiler alert, is probably San Francisco. But kind of a secondary matchup that I'm looking at is Jahan Dotson, the rookie receiver, against Darnay Holmes, primary slot corner, from at least the statistical data that I'm getting. And Jahan Dotson came back week 10 from the hamstring injury that forced him to miss five games. He's run 52 pass routes, which is actually fourth highest on the team, but he's only gotten four targets, depending on which source you trust. But I go with four targets. Ron Rivera talked about wanting to get more out of their offense, more scoring, get into the 20s. And I think that getting Jahan Dotson in sync with Taylor Heinicke is really the key to doing that. So Jahan Dotson kind of does his best damage out of the slot early on when he was having success. Three of his four touchdowns early on in the season came out of the slot. But then even beyond Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel obviously does a lot of work in the slot. Terry McLaurin also does a lot of work in the slot. And I go back to one of those big catches by the Dallas Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, up against Darnay there. So I think that, honestly, no matter who it is, I think that if Washington wants to get their passing attack going a little bit better this week, or, you know what, going back to your previous topic, maybe they save that for after the bye, lean on the run here, and then come out of the bye trying to attack that slot, try to attack Holmes there. And basically you have three guys to potentially do it with.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point here, because Holmes has struggled this year. I mean, look, he's a gutsy player. You know, he goes out and he gives you everything he has, but you know, I would almost imagine there being some kind of a rotation or a committee approach, because you just can't have him, you know, in my opinion, you just can't have him going up against a Terry McLaurin. You know, there's just, Darnay Holmes is not a tall guy. He plays big and he plays tough, but, you know, there's just been too many times when you just sit there and you kind of cringe because he ends up getting beaten for, you know, whatever the reason, whether he loses the size advantage or just somebody puts a move on him. And, you know, the Giants are so banged up. So I'm curious to see how they move their cornerbacks around, or if they just say, okay, you know what, Darnay, you've got it. You handle it. We put, you know, Fabian Moreau, maybe place McLaurin on the outside. So I'm curious to see how, you know, Wink is going to do it. But yeah, that would be a concern for me as well, that slot matchup, because the Giants last week against the Cowboys, they had some problems. All right, everybody. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, we are going to talk about predictions, and then we will wrap everything up on this crossover edition of the Locked On Giants and Locked On Commanders podcast. Stay with us. This episode of Crossover Thursday is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game, both college and NFL. And Bet Online doesn't stop there. It's your continued source for all your sports wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including the World Cup, NBA, NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head on over to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the games start. All right, everybody, welcome back to the crossover edition. Locked On Giants, Locked On Commanders. I'm Patricia Traina. He is David Harrison. Commander fans, you know him from the Locked On Commanders podcast. Giant fans, you know me from the Locked On Giants podcast. And David, it is time to make predictions. This is the part of the show I'm not really crazy about because I never get it right. But again, I'm going to go to you since you are the visitor, and I'm sure in a couple weeks you'll be putting me on the spot first. So
I will.
I know you will. So.
I mean, look, you know, the Washington Commanders are favored by 2.5 points in this game, according to BetOnline. And really, you know, usually the home team, right? That's the tradition. The home team usually gets a field goal kind of advantage to their benefit. So I don't know what the bookmakers really think of this game. It's kind of a close pick, obviously. The over-under is 40.5. When I kind of look at the games that the Giants have been playing in, the games that the Commanders have been playing in, I think this version of the Giants that we're recently talking about is more susceptible to getting beat by this Commanders team. I think that, you know, especially coming out of like that win against Green Bay Packers, for example, like if you face that Giants team, then maybe I feel a little bit less confident about this game. That being said, I do think the Commanders win. I'm confident the Commanders can come out of MetLife with a victory. You know, they took two of them last year. I think this is a better team. I do think this is also probably a better Giants team, but I think that this is also a better Commanders team. So I'm confident in that, but I do think this is going to be a narrow score. And of course, whenever you have these close scores, you know, if the pick is wrong here, you always go back and point to like 1, 2, or 3 plays or maybe a coaching decision, a non-timeout or non-challenge or what have you, and say that's where the game flipped and all that. I'm going just barely taking the over on the total points. I'm taking 41 points to be scored in this game. The over-under, again, 40.5. So take that for what it's worth. I've got Washington winning 21-20 over the Giants. So that's I do think the Commanders win. But I think it's going to be very close.
So you don't have them even covering the spread.
No, they do not cover the spread. So yeah, Giants against the spread, but Commanders on the money line. That's where I'm going for.
Okay. For interesting. Interesting. All right. So I suspect the reason why the Giants are not favored despite being at home is because of the injuries, number one, and the uncertainty as to who they'll have back, at least when the initial odds were set. I also think you look at the fact that the Giants have lost 3 of their last 4 games, albeit, you know, really one blowout, I think, in the mix. And that was the Detroit game, which was just the Giants' worst game of the year. Now, people will say, well, what about Dallas? They, you know, the Giants actually were ahead of Dallas through the first half of the game, and then they let it slip away. You know, the Giants, they should win this game. I mean, at the beginning of the year, when I filled out what I thought the Giants would do in each game, I had them winning at home against Washington, losing on the road. I'm going to stick with that, believe it or not. I think it's going to be a close one. I do think the Giants are going to beat the spread, the 2.5 points. I'm going to say the Giants win it by a field goal. I'm going to go 24-21. They need this game. It's that simple. Yeah. I think it's something that they can get, but they have to play mistake-free ball, which they haven't really done. They've got to play disciplined ball. And, you know, the one thing that makes me a little bit nervous about the Giants this weekend is they usually don't do well coming out of a long break. And they had a little bit of a mini bye after playing on Thanksgiving. So they also have a weird practice schedule this week. They practice Tuesday, Wednesday. They had Thursday off, practice Friday, and then a walkthrough on Saturday. I just, you know, it's an interesting schedule. I know why they did it, but I don't necessarily agree with it. So I just want to see if the Giants can be sharp again. I mean, they know what's at stake, but knowing and doing, two very different things. But I do think the Giants are gonna pull this one out, but it's gonna be a tight one. So
yeah, I'll tell you, Patricia. Like, I actually, just because you mentioned, I pulled up my receipts for my preseason predictions, and funny enough, actually, up to this point, I had the Commanders at 7-5, which is exactly where they are now. I didn't have all the games; I had them losing to the Colts, for example. But look, the last 4 games, I had a loss to the Vikings predicted. I also predicted a win against Eagles, Texans, and Falcons. So the last 4 games, I'm batting 1,000. I do have a win in the preseason against the Giants here in this one. I also have them winning out coming out of the bye. So a little bit, maybe a little bit of disrespect to the Giants there. But you know what? I didn't predict the Giants to do what they've been able to do so far this season, even right now during their downward swing, still performing above the expectations. So, I mean, anything can happen, and that's why we play the games. That's why it's always fun to watch these things and see how it unfolds.
Well, I had the Giants finishing at 8-9. So my chances of making my record is still, they're still alive. So, All right, let's wrap things up here on this crossover edition. So we're talking about key storylines. It sounds like for both teams, it's going to be the running game, run defense, the running game. Who's going to run? Will the Giants be able to stand up and ward off the Washington attack? The Giants getting healthy, that's going to be a key factor. Weather shouldn't be a factor in this week's game because I think it's going to be cold but clear. So it's going to be perfect football weather. Yes. You know, your key matchups, the slot receiver, just so much. And then, you know, bottom line is, you know, what we didn't mention is you've got a very good coach in Ron Rivera, you know, a veteran coach. You know, people will go back and they'll look at a couple of years ago when he made that call and just barely lost to the Giants. It was on a 2-point conversion. No. But you know what? Rivera is a good coach. I always liked Ron, and I think he does a great job with getting everybody prepared. You know, Brian Daboll, certainly no slouch in that department either, but could be a nice, interesting battle of the wits here.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game that really could turn on a coaching decision, either not necessarily like a boneheaded coaching decision, right? We always hate to see those, of course, and coaches do everything they can to not, you know, handcuff their own players. Like that's the last thing they want to do. But sometimes you make a decision, you know, and you make it for the right reasons and it doesn't work out. And you look back at that decision, you say, man, if I had it back, I could flip it the other way, I would. But, you know, you don't have that benefit. So you just make the best decision you can at the moment and you move forward and you live with the results.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, either way, it's going to be a fun game. Yeah. They always are. It's going to be a hard fought game. You know, a lot of history between the Commanders and the Giants. So the crowd's going to be rocking, I'm sure, at MetLife Stadium because it does have playoff implications to it.
Yeah.
I expect a full and rowdy house. And David, it's going to be fun finally getting to sit in the same press box with you and just, absolutely, you know, catching up and everything like that. So
yeah, I can't wait. And there's multiple members on the Washington beat. I was just talking to some other media members today saying that they want to meet you. So I'm like, all right, I promise introductions.
That's funny. So that's funny. Okay. Well, I'll be there probably around seat 50 or thereabouts. That's usually where I end up sitting in that front row, but I'll be easy to find. So, all right, everybody, that's going to do it for us here on this crossover edition of Locked On Giants, Locked On Commanders. We're so glad you were able to join us for this edition. Make sure you keep it here on the Locked On Giants podcast. We're going to go Locked On Live tonight, Thursday night, with yours truly, Trina, Tana, and the dog, the fantastic trio, as some of you have been calling us. And, of course, make sure you're tuning in to Locked On Commanders, David Harrison and Chris Russell do a fantastic job over there. So anything you need to know about Commanders, check them out. They will have your answers and then some. So for David Harrison, I'm Patricia Trana. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we will